Okay, let me start talking to the agenda. Maybe some more people will join. And then we'll start. I assume the recording is running?
And, yes.
Okay. So after the agenda, we'll go through the roll call. Then I want to talk at least briefly on the...
Joined.
The time, periodicity of the upcoming meeting, which means do we continue with the alternating time? You know, just to make sure we made a decision to go the distorted time, I forget, versus the UTC, then are we staying on the 1 or 2 week schedule? I have had that at the end of every meeting for the last couple, made some decisions with the staff about this meeting, and just want to make sure that we've discussed it all. Then there's a review of the feedback from Costa Rica sessions that should be fairly brief, but then there's the main issue of this meeting, which I think, which is starting implementation work on the objective procedure. There's a few weeks left before comment period opens, et cetera. So wanted to get that started.
Oh, dear.
Then there's just a quick update on the chartered work items. FINTRA can't be at this meeting, so we will drop that one from this meeting schedule. The only thing that needs to be said on that one is it will be on probably the next meeting schedule as a main item, talking about how we move forward on that, how we organize it, what exactly we're doing as opposed to creating the list that we're creating now, which is a great start, but this begins the period to start thinking about exactly what are we doing with that and how do we plan to handle it, measure it, et cetera. So that'll be in a future meeting. Then there's an update on the applicant support. It's in there, but I doubt I'll have anything further to say than what's reported about the meeting in Costa Rica. Pending actions and any other business. Does anybody have any changes they recommend, any other business to be added at this point? No? Okay, then we'll go with that agenda. And in which case, I guess, Gisela, can you do the role for this meeting, please?
Yes, with pleasure. On today's new GTLD call on Monday, the 26th of March, we have Aubrey Doria, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Hong Sui, Yeovi Atuhun, Deb Anantelik Singh, Tijani Benjema, apologies noted from Central Superman, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Rafik Danak, from staff we have Heidi Ulrich and myself, Gisela Gruber. If I could also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you, over to you, Aubrey.
Okay, thank you. So this is Aubrey again. So the first item on the agenda is timing and periodicity of this meeting. Before the Costa Rica meeting, for the most part, we had been meeting weekly to get the objection procedure created in time for the Costa Rica meeting. And then I think we skipped one meeting just before that. And, you know, but for the most part, in the last period, we've been weekly. While we have some work to do in terms of getting the objection procedure started, once that group is created that we're going to talk about in the agenda item, I think that group will be meeting more, which is sort of a, you know, in some sense a subgroup of this, though it does have a separate existence. And so I don't know that this group will need to meet weekly, so that group may need to meet weekly. So that's a question I ask. We changed the time between UTC and daylight savings time. Good thing I finally remembered what DST stood for, because calling it distorted time was just wrong, and I knew that. So, you know, we've made the decision for this meeting to move it to the DST, and and that does affect some people differently than it affects others, in that it affects some people by keeping the meeting at the same time relative to their time zone, but some people it moved it earlier. Was that the right thing to do? Do we do that? And then the other thing, which was actually the first topic, is continuing with alternating times fine, and are these? So I'd like to open the floor to anyone on any of these issues. I've given this one 10 minutes. I don't know if we need it, but it's time to do a check-in on timing. So would anyone like to speak on this? I see a hand. Yes, Hong, please.
Well, I'm not feeling well today, so I guess I can't finish the call, but I do have one comment. The current schedule, this alternative time zone, working well in the group, even though some of us will have to miss a half of the course. And secondly, I guess the bi-week schedule is working. I don't believe we need to make it a weekly call. Okay, back to you, Ivory.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, and to back up what Hong said on that, the staff did prepare a list of attendance, and indeed there were basically five people who made the meeting all the time, no matter what time zone, there was five, one of whom missed one, but by and large was in that class of people that makes all of them. And then there were about five people that made the alternate time. And so, indeed, it does look like alternating times. We could find no time last time we tried that was good for everyone. And the alternating times does seem to work. Tijani, please.
Yes, thank you, Abri. First of all, I apologize for the remark I made on the list. Because of the DST time, I don't have any problem with it, but the point was only because it was a surprise for me. But both are good for me. UCT and DST are good for me. Second point, I do agree with Hong that we don't need a weekly call now, but we may need a weekly call or perhaps more in the future. So let us do it as it is needed, not as something which is really toughly decided now. As for the alternating times, even if this time is better for me, but I don't mind if it's alternated because I understand very well the other zone. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, teacher. Anyone else like to comment? Okay, so if I'm hearing that we stick with alternate time. We are biweekly. I'd like to comment on that. I think that that's good. I think as we start having this new working group or the objection working group, they may be having weekly meetings. But I don't think this meeting will need to. So I think that's a great proposal to basically schedule it alternating, and then if sub-teams need to have meetings or stuff, or if this group needs to meet again, we revisit this issue when that becomes necessary, and it may just be scheduling a special meeting to do a special task. And on the UCC, DST, yes, Johnny, as I say, a few of us, and I didn't even include Sintra in the discussion. It was really between Heidi and I with other staff members giving quickly sort of in at large what's being done here and basically made a decision without consulting anyone but ourselves, and that's why I wanted to make sure we revisited it. I don't believe you caused the problem. I think it was good that you questioned it and that it got any.
Your line is muted.
My line is muted? Can anyone hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Aubrey. Somebody's either got some feedback or is breathing very heavily into their headset. because I can hear it on a regular basis. I don't know if other people are hearing that.
Okay, thanks. And I had just heard my line is muted, and that's why I asked.
I heard the same.
I guess we all heard it. Okay. So on this issue, I think we've concluded it, correct? Alternating time, we're on daylight savings time until it's no longer daylight savings time, and then we'll probably roll back to UTC, but we'll talk about it then, though whoever's chair might end up making a one-term preemptory meeting because we won't have talked about it in time. And we stay on biweekly until such time as it makes sense to not be biweekly. Okay? Okay. Moving on then. Review of feedback from Costa Rica sessions. And I'll start this, but really I want to collect feedback from other people in the group who were there. On the applicant support process session, I think it was an interesting session. We had for the first time there people that were perhaps looking for support. I don't have great feelings about the publicity or the outreach. We got sort of global figures of all outreach and all such and meetings, you know, for example, perhaps at Davos where somebody said, and there is an applicant support program that can be applied for. So, outreach about the program was problematic. Outreach about new GTLDs in general to the populations that we would have wanted to reach with this was problematic. But at this point, I'm not sure what can be done. The application period doesn't look like it'll be extended. I certainly haven't seen this group advocating that, nor did I see any group in Costa Rica advocating for it, though I had half thought that there might have been some. I didn't see it. Perhaps others did. And so I'm not sure what can be done other than to make sure it doesn't happen this way again and to use this last week to reach out to any applicants who you may know of to be reached out. And the one other thing, but I'm not sure how I feel about it, is even if they miss the 29th deadline, they could still possibly do cooperative application, but I don't see how that would fit with the applicant support program because they would then be under, the way the application would come out, it would come out under someone that probably didn't qualify. And so I would see that as problematic. But anyhow, I see two hands. I see Andrew and Sajani, so I'll stop babbling on my impressions. And please, Andrew.
Yes, Avery, a couple of things. First of all, I agree with you. The session on outreach, I was disappointed. I thought it was pretty thin. It wasn't broken out with the JAS and applicant support recommendations specifically. And all of the things that I've heard from the people from some of our target markets were that they had received nothing in terms of that the awareness on the ground was very, very, very limited. I think that's going to be a big problem. I really do. I think it will be we probably should think about how we want to react if, in fact, we don't even get the 14 groups or if we do get 14 groups, but they're not all of the quality that we would have normally have expected just because people didn't know about it. I think that's a big issue. I heard one rumor that there was some desire to try to push forward some applicant support candidates in whatever would be the first batch. There was some discussion of that at the BC and in a couple of other quarters that there might be some strong desire to or some desire to make sure that there were applicants from the JAS appropriate applicants in that first batch if there is a first batch. I wanted to get everybody's thoughts on that. I don't know. We're going to have a tough go if there's not going if there's not going to be a good showing in this first round. That's my concern.
Okay, thank you. So I took a couple things from that. One is that there's some issue about the batching. I think that would be difficult, but it's an interesting thing in that the whole process for reviewing who's a qualified support applicant, the way it's currently designed, takes as long as a batch almost. So that would be a difficult issue to look at, but certainly it should be looked at.
Aubrey, I didn't understand what you just said. Could you say it again?
Well, basically, the way the applicant support program is designed to evaluate who is qualified, since it starts at the same time as the first batch would start, assuming that there is batching, it's difficult to see how one would know who was qualified for support in the first batch during the first batch. So I would
right.
say...
Let me clarify, because I think it's a good point that you're making. The clarification is that what I heard, and it's not, it's nobody's policy at this stage, it was just something that I heard that was being discussed, was the idea that everybody is concerned about the optics of having no jazz applicants in the first pool, regardless of what that first pool is called or what it is, and how many it is. And the thought is that without making any determination as to whether or not they actually get the applicant support, the idea is to have applicant support, the people who are applying for it, groups that are applying for it, in that first tranche. Does that make sense?
I understand it. It seems like this is comments on totally redoing the approach that probably would have been better before, not that we had much time, but before it was actually implemented. But, okay, yeah, I understand what's being said. Two more things before I give the floor to Tijani. One, Dev had asked a question, what's the deadline for applicants to apply for applicant support? And the deadline for getting into the application system and having an account in the application system is the 29th of March. The deadline for finishing your application is the 12th of April. March 29th is the last day for declaring yourself an applicant and having a TAS account. So, yes.
Okay.
The other thing that Android mentioned that it wanted to get on the table here, make sure, was the notion of how does this group, and I guess the question would need to be asked to the jazz group, how does the jazz group respond to how this program is being implemented? And yes, that's an issue that we need to have on the table. I don't see it as a rush issue, but I do see it as an issue. Tijani, please.
Yes, thank you, Avery. As for the applicant support session in Costa Rica, I was a little bit disappointed because we was making a lot of noise about the outreach, but nobody said no, but nobody said yes, and nobody did anything. So I don't think there is anything to do now because everything is already done. I sent on our regional list a reminder for the SARP, but for the application, I don't think there is anything to do now. I think that we have a duty to advertise about the SARP applications. At least we will win this side of the problem. If everyone among us do his best to make the news available everywhere, perhaps we will have a very good candidate for this panel. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. I think that's a great idea. I do encourage everyone to reach out to the people they know that are qualified to get them to apply for the SARP. And I think that's an excellent thing. And I think, though, also that in terms of outreach, I'm sure all of us have done it, but if there's anyone you know that should be applying and applicant support, there is a week left. Or actually, no, there's like 2-3 days to get them in as an applicant. So, you know, that word of mouth is still possible. I know it's really late. I know Tijani is probably right. And it is too late to get any more applicant support applicants. But just in case, you know, we have a couple more days to outreach. Anyone else want to say more on this before we move to the new GTLD issues? Okay. I'll open up the floor to say on new GTLD issues sessions. I know that we've gone through the list. I'm not sure what issue sessions we want feedback from, so if anyone else could speak to this.
Yes, good one.
Okay. Go ahead, Tijani.
My main remark about this session is that when the question was asked to Kurt about the next round, his answer is very clear. There is not a decision about a next round. So, till now, even if people spoke a lot about the next round, I don't think there is anything already decided about it.
Okay.
Thank you.
I guess there's pretty much only two decisions I would speak of as having been made on the next round, and that's that there will be one, and there will be a review of this round before that one happens. And so, yeah, from a staff perspective, there is no implementation of a next round yet, because until the review has happened, I don't think they're actually going to schedule the actual date of the next round. I'd be surprised. But I think we do have the board sort of guarantee that there is one insofar as the board won't change its mind. So probably what you said, Tijani, is that there is no decision is probably the ultimate outcome, certainly from a staff perspective. Yes, Tijani.
Yes, the second point is about the SARP. I remarked that Kurt spoke about members among the community and members from outside the community, while inside the implementation group, you remember, Avery, they said, no, they will be from the community, and in the community we have experts, so we don't need to go out the community. You remember that?
Yeah.
So in his presentation, he put in his presentation from and outside the community.
Okay. Yeah, I guess sometimes at a point like that, I have trouble knowing where the community ends. Because as soon as you reach out to someone that's not already sort of in this community and pull them in, but you're right. I think that goes with what you were saying earlier in terms of doing outreach, that if you know someone who is a development funding specialist who hasn't been in the ICANN community already but the right kind of person, I think they should be reached out to and get them to apply. And that's just a for example.
Yes, and it was our request, you remember?
Right, yeah. So, and I think that SARP team is also going to be pulled into the evaluation somehow, but I'm still not quite sure how that is happening. And I think that there's going to be a meeting of that small team and then perhaps augmented beyond that for, going forward with the SARP team. There was a sort of agreement, though, that people in that had been in the JAS implementation or not implementation but policy recommendation group would not be probably good for SARP. Okay, anything else on that? And then there's the objection procedure where it was discussed, it was commented on, and in the end it was approved by ALAC, meaning that the next steps of it are now on our plate, and in fact the next item. But anyone want to comment further on the objection procedure and the discussions we had on that? No? Anybody else want to feedback anything else about the Costa Rica meeting that's pertinent to this working group? Yes, Dev, please.
Hi, this is David Antilak Singh. Just a quick question. I guess just to follow up with the regarding the application support process, are we aware of any applicants that have applied for applicant support?
From a rumor basis, I think we've heard that there are several, but staff has consistently said they cannot give any information about anything in terms of applications, either for support or applications in general, until the information dump 2 weeks after the period closes. So we're told that there are some, but that they can't say anything more than that.
Okay, well, all right, at least there's some then. Okay, I just wanted to find out that.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, we keep asking, and basically the answer is no information on applications until applications are closed. Okay, anything else? Okay. Well, then we'll move on to the next one, which is the starting work on the implementation of the objection procedure. And from the approved plan, we have developed call for participants from all RALOs to join an at-large new GTLD review group. Then the GTLD review group is tasked with receiving the comments from at-large, either directly via email or via RALO conference calls, creating/updating the GTLD wiki comment pages, giving status updates of which GTLD receives comments each week, informing RALOs of deadlines for comments to be drafted during the ACP, application comment period, and for objection statements made during the seven-month objection period. Before opening the floor on this, I want to make a comment, and this is in the conflict of interest department. One of the things that was pointed out to me in a conversation, I guess informal conversation on the chat, is that I, for example, have a relationship with two applicants, and I can be open about which ones they are. It's the .gay and the .NGO. Either of those can be expected to be a comment issue or even an objection issue, not necessarily from this group, but we're fairly certain that people will think about it on both of them. Now, I am just a research consultant for them, not a decision maker in any sense, but it was pointed out that I do have a material financial connection to them. So in that respect, other than dealing with the process of getting the objection procedure going and getting this working group going, I obviously have to exclude myself from anything that even comes close to deciding who and what is objected to or is commented on by this group. Simply just to make sure that as one would use the word optics, that I have no, bad optics in relation to that. And obviously, if I were to take a real job with one of them, then I'd have to come back to this group and at large to see whether that conflict of interest, made me even participating in the group problematic. I wanted to bring that up. I wanted to suggest that anyone else that is in a similar situation, on an advisory board, on a doing contract work for one, doing whatever, make sure that they've sort of done that same sort of personal homework to decide whether there's any chance the thing could go wrong. And I thank Bo for who's not in this meeting, but just I thank Bo for sort of, you know, making sure that I looked at that, because before then I was just like, I'm just a consultant, you know. I don't care whether I get it or not. In fact, you know, somebody objects, it might make more work for me. Oh, gee, that could be a conflict of interest. So you know, Bo forced me to do my own personal homework, and that's where I fell on it, and I just want to sort of point out to anyone else that has similar types of issues that they look at it themselves in terms of volunteering for this new GTLD working group, you know, et cetera. Having said that, I open the floor. One other thing I should say, I see no hands up, so I'll keep going, is that what we need to develop now is a letter, I believe. And I have no problem with, you know, working with a few people that would want to work with to develop that letter to the Rollo that basically says, we're forming this group. We need you guys to pick a few people to do it. You know, please volunteer. Then that group comes back, and in 2 weeks, you know, we've hopefully gotten that letter out. I think as an end date for this, we need the group to be formed, if not forming, by May 1st, because that's mm-hmm. when,
yep.
theoretically, the comment period starts. So we've got a little over a month to do it. The rush is not on us. We can create the letter over the next 2 weeks, talk about the letter at the next meeting, and then move forward. There's time. It's not so tight that we need it weekly. One thing that I think we need to figure out is it an open call to the Rallos, and each Rallo can put as many people as they want? Do we want to suggest that, no, each Rallo contributes one person, two people, three people? How do we want to do it? Does this group pick its own chair / coordinator? Things like that we need to figure out over the next month. Does the coordinator perhaps come from this group to maintain the connection? But, you know, so those are the issues I want to put on the table. I'm sure other people have other issues. I'd like to know who wants to help me draft that letter over the next 2 weeks so that we can discuss it at our next meeting and get it sent out. Floor is open. Hands, please. Okay, I see two hands. Thank you. Somebody to keep me from jabbering on. Tijani, please.
Thank you, Avery. First of all, I want to thank you for your fairness, because the conflict of interest, we have to be to show that we are worried about the conflict of interest, we have to show that we are the first who show our situation and to explain what kind of thing we can do and what kind of thing we cannot do. So thank you very much. And I encourage everyone to do the same, because our label, if you want. It is how we will be seen by the others. Second point, I think that the definition of the role of the review group perhaps to be more detailed, a little bit more detailed, or a little bit more clear. It is detailed, but it's perhaps not too clear. So perhaps we have to, for example, for the third bullet point, the third bullet point, yes, giving status update of which the GTLD received comments each week. To whom give the status? We have to be clear. For example, it's an example, but in all those bullet points, we have perhaps to draft them clearly, so that people who will volunteer for this group knows what they have to do. I think that the 1st of May is really the last date to have this group formed, I think, because after that we will have already the list of the applicants, and then the process will begin to run. And our work group, our review group, have to be trained also, have to be if you want to get more information, have to be more, I will not say trained, but more or less trained, yes, to do this work. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I see Hong has agreed. Yeah, in terms of one thing that you said, we have basically two more on a biweekly schedule. We would have two more meetings. So we would have a meeting on the 9th where we would get the letter out to the Rallos. I don't know if 2 weeks is enough time for them to come up with the volunteers. And then we would have the 23rd as a week to make a decision on that group. And that would give us basically a week to get that group set up and working, and perhaps even having a couple meetings during that week that could be the training, as it were, for the following Tuesday would be May 1st, all things being equal. So just looking at those dates. Dave.
Thanks. This is Dave Rand for the transcript records. Thanks, Avery. I think, well, I'll volunteer, first of all, I guess I'll volunteer to help draft the letter for the call for persons to be on the GTLD review group. Regarding the composition, I put in the notes in the proposal that I suggested two persons from each RALO and perhaps one person from ALAC per region. That was my suggestion. But definitely, I think that we need regional balance in the group is important, as Cheryl mentioned in the comments. And indeed, yes, we probably have to clarify the details. For example, giving the status updates, just to clarify for the record, it was to give status updates to the entire to the at-large list and to the RALOs and within the RALOs itself as to what is happening with the process. So we ensure that at every week there is an email going out to the RALO list, to the global at-large list, that this is what's happened so far. I think we also have to emphasize the point that given that we're going to be using the wiki, the persons on the review group have to be familiar with using the wiki, and are comfortable using it. I think trying to learn how to use a wiki if you have never used one would be a little problematic. But that's another thought. My other concern or question would be whether, and I think, let me rephrase that. My other concern would be that, the person sort of have to be fluent in English, because I think we're going to have to be looking at the applications in English, and therefore knowledge of English, of course, is essential. I don't think we'll have things like translation and so forth. So I think that we have to also make that a point clear when we issue the call that there may not be unless this group feels that the review group needs translation or interpretation, I should say, for its work. I don't think it's needed. So I'll stop right there right now.
Okay, thank you. First of all, I thank you for helping to write this thing. I was kind of counting on you continuing to volunteer on these things, and I very much appreciate it. I think you made good points. On the English, I think that, yes, you're right, but I also think that writing and reading of English is perhaps more important than feeling comfortable speaking, although some speaking is obviously necessary. But I think the main skills will be the reading and writing, and especially the reading, because it's going to take a lot of reading. So I think that those are good points. I think on the wiki, I have a question. Do you think that everyone on that team needs to be as equally comfortable with wiki editing at first as perhaps some? Certainly some need to be totally comfortable, But I think if there are some that are totally comfortable, one assumes that there'll be a working group list, that there's the comment areas, et cetera, and that all would learn. Or do you think really that everyone needs to be as skilled? And I see Dave and Hans, so please.
This is Dave. Well, I would think yes. I think familiarity with the wiki and being able to add the comments and edit the comments and so forth, especially, would be needed. And the reason why I suggested two persons is so that it's not just one person from each reload just completely doing this every week. What could happen then is that if you have two persons from each reload, they can alternate the workload each week. So that my thinking would be that familiarity with the wiki, being able to understand how it works, would be more important.
Okay.
I'm willing to hear other comments on suggestions on it.
Okay, thank you, huh?
Oh, well, I agree with what Jeff said, that the people from the reload should be should be using the wiki as the workspace, and also should be fluent in English. That's the only work language. But I assume the workload would be tremendous. Only two people from each relo, and there's 10 people group as this reveal group, would be very burdensome. So I assume perhaps we need more people from the relo level. And this reveal group may not be a very small group. Especially think about that if the thousands of the GTLD streams to reveal, there's only 10 people plus one from ALUG. How will they handle that? It's incredible. I have to go. I'm really not feeling well. Back to you, Avery.
Thank you, Han. I hope you feel better soon, and thank you for being on the call despite being sick. So be well. Okay, Tijani. I guess the other issue that's on the table is more than two. If so, how many? Tijani.
Avery, just before Hung leave, just to say that they are not 10 plus 1, they are net 10 plus 5. One ALAC guys from each RALO, so they are 15 and not 10.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Okay, so to continue the discussion here, I mean, we'll start working on the letter. So at the moment we're at three per RALO, essentially, one of the ALAC plus two other volunteers. Is that a proper number to start with? Cheryl, please.
Hi, thank you, Cheryl, for the transcript record. I disagree with Hong on the matter of the numbers, which is why I'm popping my hand up now. I think the regional balance, i.e. the two that were suggested, is essential. I think a group larger than what would then be 15 or so is absolutely unworkable. Hong's concept of thousands being reviewed, but a lot of the work is done out in the regions, and if you have every man and their dog in the review group, then who's going to be doing the work at the edges anyway? I mean, I just don't think that, A, we would get more than that many active individuals. I think we probably need to look at the ability to have people substitute for each other if needs be, but I don't agree with Hong that bigger is better on this. Far from it.
Okay, thank you. First of all, I just want to point out that Hong did not suggest that we have everyone and their dog in the group, but I think at the moment that we have three, I think the group itself perhaps can be empowered to come back and say, hey, there's a big workload. We need another five volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
Give us one from each region, and that. So as an initial group, how do people feel about three from each? In other words, one of your ALAC and to other people, and that it be left to the group itself to come back and say, listen, you know, we got thousands, and it's a deluge of comments and questions coming in from all regions, and we just can't do it. We need to add another person. And, you know, we could sort of explain that in the letter as part of what we're doing. And I think one comment Cheryl made is right. Finding three people from each RALO willing to work as hard as this is going to take may be challenging. Finding four from each would be at least that much harder again.
It takes at least just one effort.
Right. So we have basically at the moment a two from each RALO and one from each geo region, and from ALAC and for that. Okay. Anything else to be said on that? Do I have any other volunteers other than Dave and I to write this letter? I mean, the two of us can probably do it. I don't know if there's someone else that wants to contribute. I'm probably figuring that either Dave or I can put a first draft on either the wiki page or a Etherpad somewhere, and then go from it. Yes, Tijani.
Thank you. That's exactly what I wanted to say. If you give the first draft, I will contribute. Sure. But
okay.
Another point, Avri, perhaps the review team or the review group need to have working methods. It's not easy to deal with this with these tasks. And first come will deal what is here, and the others will not do anything when they catch up. Or will they have a periodic meeting or call to deal with all the comments that come in this week? So we need to define some working methods for this group. How it will work? It is do we need the consensus of all the members to decide on one thing, or will it be decided by the majority or some groups or some members, etc.
Okay, thanks. Why don't we put that on as a discussion item on the list for this week and a discussion item for the next meeting where people bring their suggestions. I think it's a good idea to give them at least an initial guidance on working group methods, with them having the right to work within those constraints, perhaps go further, et cetera. So why don't we put that as a discussion item, continuing on, take it to the list, because we're at 51 minutes on the hour. So I don't want to get into that one now, but I think it's an excellent topic for us to look at. And we would have a month. We would have until the 23rd when we pick people and start, talking to them about their tasks to actually get that completed. So we would have an extra couple weeks. Good. I see no hands up on this. Does anyone else have anything to say on this objection, setting up the objection working group, the new GTLD review group? Yes, Dave.
Hi. Thank you. David Antilak Singh, for the record. By all means, we can take that discussion regarding how the work review group would work. I have some ideas of how it would work, so we can expand on that on the mailing list. I guess the other question would be, collaboration. I guess update perhaps is possible collaboration with the GAC on how they are going to approach their early warning system and whether there's a method of possibility of collaboration, and I'm trying to remember during Costa Rica what did staff commit to in terms of. Would there be a prototype of how the applications would be displayed or looked or viewed before May 1st? That would be my question. I think there was no commitment given, but I'm just...
Yeah, I think there was a commitment for us to have another conversation on what's going on. And so I think one of the action items is that we need to follow up on that. And that was Olivia, you and I were the ones that were talking to the people on the staff working on this. And when we were in Costa Rica, we had just given them the procedure that we were going to follow. We talked somewhat about the systems they were setting up, and they were going to get back to us. And this was the week we had sort of talked about being the earliest time when they could get back to us on what the plans are. So, you know, I think you took us right into the action item section, and I think that's where we are on the cooperation. So first of all, it's the staff cooperation with the tool, and then there's the cooperation possibility with GAC once we know more about how they're working. So I think those are both things we should follow up on and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else on this topic? I see Andrew has also said he'd be happy to be a reader contributor to the letter once the first draft is out. Okay. So basically, we'll work that way. I probably won't get a first draft done for at least a day or two. Probably the end of tomorrow I should have it. Although I find I'm already committed to too many things writing over the next 2 days. So we'll stop this topic here on pending action items not covered. I don't have the URL in front of me. Agenda, I'm sure. Where is it? Any other business?
Avery, this is Heidi.
Hi.
Hi, and I'm sorry, but we are still waiting for the notes to get back on that. So those action items that are on the agenda are from a couple of weeks ago.
Okay. So at the moment, our action items is to catch up on our action items. We've at least added one or several of them this time, which include getting a draft of a letter out in the next couple of days so people can discuss it and we can decide on it next time. Making contact with the people and staff working on the tools for this. Doing outreach, all of us, this is an action item for all of us, doing whatever last outreach we can do, both on application support and SARP. Starting work discussion on the mailing list in terms of working group methods for the new GTLD review group. Any other action items I have forgotten that we need to make sure we follow up on? The staff catch any that I didn't recite, and I know my order was haphazard. No? Okay. 4 minutes left. Any other business anyone needs to bring up or wants to bring up, things should be brought up. No? In which case, unless anyone objects, I thank you for a very good meeting. First meeting back from, at least for me, first meeting back from Costa Rica, back into the swing of teleconferencing, and I thank you all, and we'll talk to you again on the list soon, and for this meeting in 2 weeks. And goodbye.
Thank you, Avery. Thank you, Avery, for sharing. Bye.
Bye-bye. See y'all.
Goodbye.
Thanks, Avery. Thanks, everyone. Take care.